Hello and welcome back to Neely's Bend Baptist Church's Sermon Archive. I'm Austin Jones, the pastor here at Neely's Bend Baptist Church in Madison, Tennessee, and I'm so grateful you've taken the opportunity to listen to our sermons here at Neely's Bend. At Neely's Bend, our mission is that we want to equip people with the gospel so they can live in worship of God and one another fellowship and on mission by making disciples. My hope is that these sermons from Neely's Bend Baptist Church will encourage you with the gospel to live on mission and one another fellowship and in worship of God. If you have any questions about the gospel or Neely's Bend Baptist Church, please feel free to email us at nbbc@neelysbendbaptist.org. Thanks, and we hope you have a great week.
What a joy it is for me to be here today. And I have been so blessed to be here. I was blessed by our Sunday school class, and we learned about false prophets, false teachings, and then this great service and singing about that old country church. What a blessing that was. And then the scripture, and knowing that He is Lord, and most of all, we can say this morning, it is well with my soul. I've said this many times when I've been asked to be a part of a funeral. Where would we be without Jesus? Aren't you glad we're here with Jesus right now? Isn't it a joy to be with Jesus right now? Wow. Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity, and we pray for the pastor here. We love him, and thank you for sending us to this great church, and may you use him in days to come for your glory. And thank you, Lord, for my opportunity to come to supply for him today. And I pray everyone will receive a blessing, that everyone will be encouraged, and will magnify your name because you are Lord. I pray this in your holy name. Amen. Well, I just wanted to start by saying it's good to know what the mission of Neely's Bend Baptist Church is. In case you don't know, it's printed in the bulletin. Neely's Bend Baptist Church exists to glorify God by equipping people with the gospel of Jesus to live in worship of God, in one another's fellowship, and on mission to make disciples in Neely's Bend, Madison, and beyond. Wow! That's a mission of the church, of Neely's Bend. That's a mission for all Christian churches. And I want to tell you this so you won't misunderstand. The point that I'm trying to get across to you this morning is encouragement. Encouragement. If ever we're living in a day that we need encouragement, it is today. I've never seen the United States in such turmoil in so many ways. We have so many enemies. We have so many things that we're trying to overcome. But there's peace in Jesus. As Marty said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest upon your soul. Come to Jesus in the times in which we live. I've been in crisis myself personally in the last month. My wife has been in the hospital 3 times with heart failure, and it takes its toll on anyone who loves someone. But I'm so glad to be here today. The subject is on counting the cost of discipleship. And I want to read you this scripture in the 14th chapter of Luke, verses 25 through 33. Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intended to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." Let us pray. Lord Jesus, these words of yours seem so stern, and I truly believe that they're meant to be stern because you know, you from your heart, you have give us the seriousness of it. Because if the early church hadn't made disciples, there would not be a church today. But I pray that this means to us to encourage us to be disciples and make disciples. Place you first in life and bring all glory to your holy name. So, Lord Jesus, I ask you to speak through me today that will encourage every one of us to consider the cost of discipleship, to be a good disciple, and help others to be disciples as well. Amen. I really believe that there is a neglect, I guess you call it. I've said the word heresy, but heresy maybe is a little bit too strong. It's not that we don't believe this, but it's how we practice it. And the heresy is something like this. All you got to do is come down front, greet the preacher, be baptized, and do nothing until you're gone, you're dead. That's not Christianity. Christianity is you're under conviction of the Holy Spirit. You do ask to confess your sins. You ask Jesus to come into your heart by faith, but that's just the beginning. We are to live our faith. We are to mature in Christ, and that's what is important. I preached last Sunday at Rosedale Baptist Church. I got a call on 10 o'clock on Saturday, asked me if I could preach for Mother's Day. That's not much time, but they needed somebody. He said they were running about 7, and they had 12. And I asked one of the ladies there, I said, how's it going? She said, well, all of our people got old and died. Serious. All of our people got old and died. Salvation is just the beginning. It's a beginning of a glorious relationship with Christ, making him Lord of our life. He is Lord, Marty. Amen, he is Lord. And when we make him Lord, all things come together. I was just thinking how things have come together even this morning. What do we speak of at Sunday school? False teachers. The false teachers of that world in 2 Peter were talking about people who did not know Christ, just lived as they pleased, and taught others to live the same way. Do we have anybody in this earth today in the United States that live as they please, but they're not happy to live as they please against the Word of God, but they want everybody else to fall in line with them? That's false teaching. And then I wanted to help by encouraging us to grow and nurture an admonition of Christ. I'm 78, May the 6th, 78. I hope I've matured since I was born 78 years ago. I hope I'm growing more like Jesus every day. What is the Great Commission? It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You see, we are definitely to evangelize. Ask people to consider Jesus, to ask forgiveness for their sins, and receive Christ. But it doesn't stop there. It only begins when they are a Christian, because it says, teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you. So we are go further than salvation. And you see, baptism is an outward sign of the authentication that we have truly been saved. We've truly been saved when we realize that we're lost and we ask God to forgive us of our going our own way and go the way of Christ. That's what salvation is. And then we're baptized as an outward demonstration to the whole world that we're buried in the old way, raised again in a new way. I didn't understand for a long time why in the world would somebody baptize somebody backwards. If you're afraid of water, that's terrible. It symbolizes you're laid back into death, the coffin. You're raised in newness of life. That's the symbol of baptism. That's the beginning. That's the beginning. I heard an old preacher say, what we have our problem is we dip them and drop them. How pathetic is that? Would you baptize somebody and you're so happy they're saved and they're so happy, and then don't teach them anything about God's word? Don't disciple them at all? Wouldn't that be sad? Wow. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I think we misunderstand the word eternal life. Life is eternal and it lasts forever, but when it begins, it starts at that point. Eternal life begins when you receive Jesus Christ and it never ends. Is that a good thing? That's why it's well with my soul. It's well with my soul because I do believe in the security of the believer. I do believe once saved, always saved. But there's a span between baptism and our death on this earth. That's the point I want to get across today. That's what I want us to understand. And to know that our spiritual pilgrimage only begins at baptism or salvation. It doesn't end. It begins there. We are to come to saving knowledge of Christ, but then we are to be nurtured in the Word and apply the Word about observing all things that Jesus has commanded us. And there's a cost to discipleship. You know what's interesting about Jesus? He's honest. He's honest. He tells the truth. Do you hear people say, just come down here, accept Jesus, you'll have no more problems, everything will be perfect, and you'll have no more illness or nothing? That's a lie. I can prove it by the last month. Been in the hospital 3 times with my precious bride. Not because she doesn't love the Lord, not because I don't love the Lord, but illness happens. But here's the good news. I didn't go it alone. She didn't go it alone. I was walking down the hall in Skyline Hospital. Y'all know where that is. You remember Old Memorial Hospital. Now they got Skyline. And there was a woman standing there crying her eyes out. And I said, ma'am, is there anything I can pray with you about? She said, yes, there is. My daughter's in the room across the hall there. They're fixing to pull the plug. She can't live. So I prayed with her and I said, dear God in heaven, comfort this wonderful lady in her grief. Help her to know that you have the best interests of her daughter. And be who you are. Do what's the right thing to do. And I said, do you want me to talk to the family in the room? And she said, yes. So I prayed with them. But I asked you this question. Where would I have been without God Almighty? Who could I call on besides God Almighty? How could I comfort this mother who was brokenhearted for a daughter? Jesus is real. And he wants us to know what Christianity is all about. In the 26th verse, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his mother and father, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yea, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Wow, that seems awfully cruel and harsh. Jesus was saying it for a purpose. He wanted us to vividly understand. In the Eastern language, they said things where you could understand it. What was Jesus saying? Unless you put me first over your mother, father, brother, and sister, wife, even your own life, unless you put me first, you cannot be my disciple. And that's what he meant by that. And that's what he's encouraging us to do. Place him first. Have a relationship with Jesus. I like to ask people, do you know Jesus? And if they tell me they do, I ask the second question. Tell me about your relationship. I go to a church Christmas and Easter. CEO, Christmas and Easter only. I didn't ask you how many times you went to church. I want to know what's your relationship with Jesus Christ. When's the last time you poured your heart out to Jesus? When's the last time you asked him to help you through life and the crisis it gives you? Do you have a relationship with Christ? That's what's important. one verse in the Bible says it so great. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus doesn't lie. If you seek him first, all the things that are necessary will be added, because he tells us the truth. Wow. It doesn't mean to despise your mother and father, brother and sister. Yeah, you know, it don't mean despise. It means you put me first is what it means. That's what he's saying to us. Verse 27. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. One thing you can say about Jesus of Nazareth, he practiced what he preached. What did the cross mean to Jesus? It meant Calvary. That's not what the cross means to us, I hope, though there have been Christian martyrs. But the cross means to us is to put him first. Turn away from everything that's not right in our life. Put him first in everything. Jesus said it so well, I do all things to please the Father. I do all things. My wife said something to me one time, it broke my heart. We got crosswise. I know you've never done that. She said, Mike, I do everything to try to please you. And I said, yes, you do. That's how much you love me. That's how much Jesus loved God. He did all things to please him. It cost us our noblest life. For which of you intended to build does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Jesus is saying the cost of discipleship is high. And one should consider the cost. Consider the cost. Do you know that you should even consider the cost of marriage? Huh. Really? Are you supposed to consider the cost when you get married? Well, I'm going to live with my mate as long as everything runs smooth. I'm going to live with my mate until we have the first argument. Marriage means sacrifice, determination, stickability, endurance, and sometimes just pure stubbornness. I'm in this for the long haul. Now, I didn't get that from a comic book. The Bible says, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. I remember one time when I was in school, the teacher, he was a marriage counselor. He said, anybody got any questions? This guy said, I got a question. He said, teacher, what do you think about a couple that neither one of them ever disagree on anything? Wow, I thought he had a good answer. He said, one of the other doesn't think. Well, at the Mayo home, we do thinking. We have to come to agreement. And I'll tell you an idea. Sometimes she's right, and I just better know she's right. And sometimes I know I'm right, I better know I'm right. And that's okay. He said, that don't make logical sense. Don't make any difference. It makes good marriage. I can be wrong sometime, and so can you, she. And he says in verse 29, lest after you laid the foundation is not able to finish all that he has begun, all who see it begin to mock him. Why should you Consider the cost. You don't want people to mock you that you started out good, but you didn't do it. When I was 21 years old in Munich, Germany, United States Army, I got a letter from a pastor's wife. And I never will forget the scripture she sent me. And every one of us knows it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not upon thine own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall make thy path straight. He shall direct thy paths. Wow. Because you see, God, who has begun a good work in you, will complete that work as long as you put him first. Why? Why should we consider the cost? Verse 30 gives us the answer. This man began to build and was not able to finish. What a tragedy to begin a good work for Jesus but fail to finish it. I'm going to tell you good news. It is a tragedy. But every one of us have tried something and failed. Come unto me, all ye are labor. Dear God, I meant to do a good job on that, but I did so poorly. Will you forgive me? Yes, I'll forgive you. Get yourself up, dust yourself off, and go at it again. Aren't you glad Jesus is a God of second chances? I never will forget. This is one of the most humbling experiences of my life. I went to Southeastern Seminary, and I will tell you the truth. Seminary was not easy. And those professors had the audacity to try to teach us everything they knew in one semester, and it seemed like. And I made the dean's list the first semester, meaning that I made all C's to one D, which meant if I didn't do any better than that, I'd be out of there the next semester. And I was very sad. And I walked and I saw one of my classmates. And he asked me this question. I want to ask you this question. Have you received God's grace in this matter? I don't know where you are today. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know where you are, whether you failed, whatever direction or what crisis you're involved. But accept God's grace in the matter. Now, as Paul Harvey said, I'll tell you the rest of the story. That course that I made a D in, I made a B in the next. You know, I had to learn where the stumps were. I had to get with a study group. But you see what I mean. Then he gives a second illustration, verse 31. Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who is against him with 20,000. Ooh. Why do you think Jesus might have said that? He said that for us who have tried and failed. And I will tell you this. Not one person in the sound of my voice is perfect. And you say, preacher, how do you know that? Because you're here. Enoch walked not, for God took him. He was perfect, but none of us are. None of us are. And God is in the redeeming business. You know, when I was a boy, we used to sling weeds, and I don't know what y'all mean. We've got these lawnmowers now. I remember we had no real type lawnmower, but now they got these motorized lawnmowers and all that. I'm being facetious in a way. But we had no sling blade, and my dad said, now, son, using a sling blade, he says, you just got so much energy, so try to make every lick count. But I've never forgotten that. We're going to make every lick count here at Neely's Bend, right? Isn't that our goal? To make every lick count for the Lord Jesus Christ right here, right now, for his glory. And he says in verse 32, or else while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation to ask conditions of peace. What are you supposed to do if you got sidetracked? What are you supposed to do if you got off? They say, well, you say, got out of kilter. Anybody ever heard that? Got out of kilter. You've got a motor and it's not running. It must be out of kilter. Come back to Jesus. Jesus is simply saying, make him first. Whosoever of you does, verse 33, so likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all he has cannot be my disciple. Wow, did Jesus say it where we could understand it? Put him first. I think one of the verses said, let him be preeminent. Hallelujah. But here's the good news. Would you like to hear the good news? Let me tell you what happens when you put Jesus first. Let me tell you what happens when you have fellowship, when you build a relationship with him. You have joy, peace, fulfillment, and an abundant life. Wow. So the question is, are we living a life of joy and peace and fulfillment? Or have we allowed Satan to steal, kill, and destroy? You know what ants are? Automatic negative thoughts. Anybody here ever have any negative thoughts? I got good news for you. I got bad news, but good news. Bad news, those negative thoughts do not come from Jesus. They come from Satan. The good news is, get behind me, Satan. I don't listen to you. You're bound, and one day you'll be thrown in the lake of fire. Shut up. I don't want to hear it. Because my Jesus wants me to have peace and joy and fulfillment. I'm not listening to you. So let's do this. Let's go about what I started talking about, fulfilling the mission of this church. And let's do it together. And through this, we'll have the joy and the peace of the relationship with Christ. And so I asked you this question. Do you have this peace? Do you have this joy? First question, have you asked God to forgive you of your sins and received him through faith for salvation? First question. Second question, are you living your life for Jesus? Is he still Lord of your life? Is he Lord? Do you talk with him? Do you walk with him? Is he real? That's the question.